Hello everyone, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're tuning in from this very day. Welcome to another episode of Radio Podcast. Today we shall be looking at the topic Unwrapping the Plastic Problem, Pathways to Ending Plastic Pollution in Nigeria. Plastic pollution is one of the most pressing environmental challenges of our time. Every year, over 400 million tons of plastic are produced globally, with a significant portion ending up in landfills, rivers, and oceans, which continue to harm wildlife, contaminating food systems, and contributing to climate change. In Nigeria, plastic waste is a visible and growing problem, particularly in urban centers where inadequate waste management systems exacerbate pollution. This 2025 World Environmental Day theme, Ending Plastic Pollution, aims to raise global awareness about the harmful impacts of plastics on ecosystems, human health, and the climate. It seeks to drive policy reforms, promote sustainable alternatives, and hold producers accountable through measures like extended producer responsibility. The team also encourages innovation in recycling and circular economic practice while empowering individuals and communities to reduce their plastic footprints. Ultimately, the 2025 initiative calls for collective action from governments, businesses, and citizens to eliminate plastic pollution and protect the planet for future generation. Today, I'm so privileged to have two distinguished panelists with us that will serve as our resource person on this podcast this morning. Please join me to welcome Engineer Yenaso Gabriel Ekanem, who is the lead Water and Sanitation Thematic Group Infrastructure and Allied Services Policy Commission, and Dr. Femi Idowu Adegoke, a member of the NESG Special Task Force on Climate Change. Engineer Ekanem is an experienced business executive with a strategic planning and management expertise developed in the private sector, public sector, he also has a proven organization and project management capability in the construction, utility, consulting, and development industry. He has good understanding of policy, regulatory, institutional, and operational issues in water and infrastructure in emerging markets and developing economies. Is a member of the Technical Advisory Board at Operation Water and an associate at the Partnering Initiative. You're welcome, Engineer Gabriel.
Thank you for having me.
On the call, we also have Dr. Femi Idowu Adegoke, who is a special assistant on One Health to the Honorable Minister of State for Health and Social Welfare. He leverages his extensive experience in environmental sustainability and waste management to contribute to policy making and implementation. He is also the co-founder and executive director of Ecovidus Environmental Technology Limited, where he designs, plans, and manages operations of waste treatment facilities, recovering valuable resources from municipal solid waste. Additionally, he serves as the president of Lagos Recyclers Association, advocating for sustainable practices and collaboration among stakeholders in the recycling industry. His educational background includes a master's degree in environmental and earth resource management from Kingston University and a professional course in environmental waste treatment technology from Cranfield University. He also hosts certifications from the Chartered Institute of Waste Management and the Energy Institute, demonstrating his commitment to continuous learning and professional development. Welcome, Dr. Femi.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well done, sir. We'll just jump right into the conversation. And let me start with Engineer Ekanem. Engineer Ekanem, in what ways is Nigeria's plastic pollution issues a governance and institutional failure beyond just waste management?
Thank you very much, Stephen. I think that for Nigeria, waste management in general, particularly solid waste, has been a challenge. And the government on its own path has done quite a lot in terms of resolving waste pollution in the country. In terms of policy development, in terms of laws, and also having the right institutions in place, we have done quite well on that side. However, the challenge is implementing these policies and laws, and also institutions playing their role. So for instance, we have regulations and regulatory authorities that are in place that should actually resolve plastic waste in the environment, reducing plastic waste. But what we've seen, particularly at the subnational, is that we have institutions that have been set up to reduce waste and solid waste in the environment, but the incentives don't match the mandate. For instance, most subnationals like state governments, where they have environmental protection agencies, the target has always been revenue generation as against reducing plastic waste. And so if the environmental protection authorities are focused on reducing plastic waste, bringing up innovation, creating awareness, and creating the right incentives for people to make sure that behavioral change comes to play by ensuring they reduce plastic waste in the environment, then that can help. However, we see that environmental protection agencies are focused on getting payments from households, and the annual payment has become the incentive. And so the target is raising how much you made last year to be more than this year. You should raise more this year than what you raised last year. And so the incentive is mismatched. There's a mismatch in the incentive, because the regulatory authority should rather focus on reducing waste in the environment than generating revenue. Also, investment at the subnational is not matching the problem. Investment in terms of creating awareness, creating the right infrastructure that can recycle or manage waste effectively, is not there. And so subnational governments should focus on ensuring that the right infrastructure is in place. That way, waste authorities, either those collecting or those regulating, will have the right tools to work with, and also the right environment to recycle effectively. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Engineer Academy. It's quite interesting that you noted the mandate of this MDAs not matching implementation. And my next question would be, how does plastic pollution intersect with national development priorities, such as health, urban infrastructure, and then job creation, if you could touch on that a bit?
Absolutely. So there's a connect between plastic pollution and the development in the country. So when you're planning a city, or when you're planning any community, there has to be a deliberate action for you to look at waste management in that community. So for instance, we see city development where you have the planning authorities coming to build roads and build drainage. However, where is that drainage emptying into? That's one. Then two, there has to be the very deliberate action of ensuring that the people that use urban infrastructure will know the right places to dispose of their waste. So when you're planning the city, there has to be a clear institutional infrastructure that will support the physical infrastructure to be effective, to supply the services that have been built for. And in terms of health, I mean, look at flooding, the impact of flooding in any environment. So for instance, you see Lagos, when you go to maybe Lekki, or maybe some parts of Abuja presently, where within 1 hour rainfall, you see some places heavily flooded. And with flooding comes the heavy pollution beyond plastic. You have pollution from septic tanks, and you have the city getting very, very dirty. And rodents now have to move to other places where they can cause more impact. And so with flooding, there's a huge impact on your health, and that will increase the issues in terms of illnesses in the environment. Secondly, in terms of job creation, we saw the last big flooding. I think there was a heavy one last year as well, but the biggest one was where most farms across the country were flooded and jobs were lost, because a lot of these companies had to shut down, particularly those in the agro sector had to shut down because their crops were totally destroyed. And so that impacted jobs significantly. For industries as well, where you have heavy flooding, you see that industries can't operate effectively. And so there's a huge impact on job creation, and that impacts negatively on the economy of the country. However, on the other hand, if we manage plastic waste effectively, we can actually create jobs. That means we can create jobs that can collect plastic, recycle plastic, upcycle plastic, and that can create value. And when plastic waste is taken out of the environment, then the flooding can be reduced. And so you're having, you know, benefits from both sides. One, reducing the waste in the environment will reduce the flooding, but also using the waste and upcycling will also create jobs and create value for the youths and the populace of the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Engineer Kala. Let me now come to you, Dr. Femi. I know you are very versed with the extended producer responsibility framework. What policy misalignments currently hinder the effective implementation of this framework in Nigeria, from your own perspective?
Okay, thank you very much. As said, there is policy misalignment in implementation of our EPR. And one of it is the constraint of overlapping mandates among various agencies, inconsistent regulation across the sub-national states, and then also there is absence of clear compliance mechanism. In Nigeria, EPR, up until recently, I know there is work ongoing to make it mandatory, has been voluntary. And when you make something voluntary, it's if I wish, so nothing is compelling me to actually do what I'm supposed to do as an extended producer responsibility. So also there's lack of economic incentives or penalties for producers who undermines the enforcement. And that would make me to say that our enforcement when it comes to such policies also are very weak, as mentioned by Engineer Nkanem. So current policies don't align with broader industrial or environmental strategies, which is causing the fragmented execution. Thank you.
It's quite interesting that you mentioned the fragmented nature of implementation of this framework in Nigeria. And you know, given Nigeria's federal structure, what roles would you say states and local government play in achieving nationwide results on this plastic waste reduction?
Okay, yes, thank you very much. And this is one of the things that as an industry player, as a thought leader in the circular economy and waste management sector in Nigeria, it's been something I've been talking for years now, or I've been championing for years. As said earlier, we have fragmented execution. So the states, ideally, the role of the state should be to enact and enforce localized waste management laws, while local government must strengthen the waste collection systems and community awareness. Therefore, we're decentralizing planning supported by the federal funding or any technical guidance, because right now most states are running waste management collection and disposal at state level. Now you find out that the local government that is closer to the point of generation and to the people, to the community, are not part of the exercise. And ideally, effective collection should be by the local authority, which is local government in our case. And that should feed to the state. But in this case, the state is the one doing the collection, is the one enforcing the law. Sometimes the states are even participating in doing the business of recycling instead of, so you are like now enforcing what you're doing. You know, you're supposed to be a regulator and then you're not a player. So these are the fragmented execution that I see. And as said by Engineer Kanem earlier, it's not for lack of policies, it's not for lack of regulations, but the implementation in the right manner or following the right strategies. And we need to look inward, like I always say every time. We need to look inward and enable context-specific solutions. You know, we need to integrate the state environmental agencies and the traditional institutions that can enhance the grassroots impact for the to solve this our fragmented policy implementation and execution.
Thank you very much, Dr. Femi. Let me come back to you, Engineer Ikane. Dr. Femi just mentioned the role of the state and local government, but then, Engineer Ikane, how can we create an economic case for plastic pollution mitigation to attract private capital into recycling and circular economic, you know, solutions?
Okay, so just to emphasize that plastic waste is called waste because of its location. So it's basically value in the wrong place, right? So if we can move that value to the right place, it becomes an economic case. It means there's a business opportunity. So for instance, in a recent project we were part of, looked at all the aggregators across the country. And we noticed that a lot of people are making really good money from aggregating plastic and exporting them. Now, exporting them, what are they? I mean, those places they're exporting them to, what are they using those plastics for? Basically recycling them, and we buy them back in the country for packaging and the rest. And so if you can create the right environment for that plastic not to be waste but value, then there's a business case for businesses. Recently, we had a project just last year where we also taught some recycling facilities, and we've seen that it's really possible for you to recycle plastic and also possibly upcycle plastic, and we can still use them in our environment. They become value. And so there's a good business case for, you know, plastic pollution, and businesses coming in to invest can really make money, and that can reduce pollution in the environment. Now, looking at what's going on in Lagos and some part of Abuja where we've seen some recyclers, you know, bringing in technology to actually create better value. We've seen where there's a what they call ATM, like the plastic waste ATM. We visited their facility, and we can see that can really be expanded across the country. That is for the collection side. And the entrepreneur has also made it very clear that there's a clear chain that links the recycling side. So when they collect using technology, they can also link with the recyclers to recycle the plastics within Nigeria. And so we can see industries springing up, but I think the best way to ensure that this can be expanded across the country and create value even for the youths, the increasing population of youths we have in the country, is for the government to put in place the right structures that can support these businesses. So for instance, having the right infrastructure that can segregate waste effectively. One of the studies we carried out showed that most of the plastics that get to the dump site, extracting them become very difficult. So that's why you see scavengers, you know, roaming around trying to pick out plastics. But in the right infrastructure in place that can segregate waste, you can actually separate plastics very, very easily, and businesses can target buying these plastics for their upcycling or recycling processes. So government should put in place the right incentives, the right infrastructure, and ensure that regulation is effective to make sure that businesses that are investing in this environment are not over-regulated, but also they are not competing against government, as was referred to by Dr. Femi. Because if you're competing against government as a business, then you don't stand a chance. So government should ensure that you leave business for business operators or entrepreneurs to run, and focus on regulation, policy, and ensuring the environment is right for investment. Thank you.
Thank you very much for making a business case for plastic, seeing it as an opportunity for business and not just for pollution. Dr. Femi, you had mentioned previously that there's a lack of sanction to force people to, you know, implement this policy. In your view, what metrics or indicators would you recommend for a national plastic pollution performance scorecard or dashboard, so that we keep these people on their toe at both federal, state, and local government level?
Okay, thank you very much. So there are what in my head I'll call the National Plastic Pollution Scorecard. You know, there are supposed to be some metrics. For example, plastic waste generated per capita, recycling rates, formal and informal sectors, and then the leakage into water bodies. Also, the EPR, Extended Producers Responsibility Compliance Rate. For example, the Food and Beverage Recycling Alliance, I think their members are over 40 now, but I can tell you food and beverage manufacturers and producers who use these packaging materials in the country, they're well over 1,000. And if it's only few, about 40, they are less than 50, as at the last count, are the one contributing to enhance entrepreneurs' collection rate and aggregation and cleanups and all of that. It's never going to be enough because it's voluntary, like I said earlier on. So there has to be a mandatory compliance, and that compliance rate also will lead to incentives or rewards for businesses or companies, manufacturers who participate well. Also, investment in circular economic initiatives. In Nigeria, we have a lot of young entrepreneurs doing wonderfully well, as mentioned. And I won't say I'm young. I started back in Nigeria some 13 years ago in the plastic and waste management recycling. And I've seen the industry, through the private sector driven, I've seen it emerge in the last almost a decade and a half. And we're not where we want, where we should be, but we're not where we used to be, but we can do more. And that's why I'm recommending this. Nigeria has a national circular economic framework. I know it's being worked on, and like every other thing, we're too slow in implementing these stuffs in Nigeria. And I believe the right investment, the right engagement needs to scale up the circular economy initiatives. A lot of our young people, a lot of our entrepreneurs, they are doing great things, but like I said, they just need the right infrastructure, the right environment, the right support to scale up and to expand the industry. It's a huge multi-billion dollar industry that we are not even scratching the surface yet. I can tell you that this is an industry that I've been for the past 24 years. So I've worked in England before coming to Nigeria. So I know it's an industry I know very well. And I know that, so number of eco-friendly enterprises should be supported. There has to be a support. There has to be something that will want to make people tweak their system. People that want to make people retwine their production line to be more eco-friendly, to be more environmentally friendly, to be more circular in its operation and manufacturing. So
I'm sorry to cut you, Dr. Femi. You mentioned that there are only 40 registered members of the Beverage Association, whereas there are over 1,000 people using this into production of this plastic. Do we have a clear national baseline or data repository on plastic generation, usage and leakage point? If not, what's stopping us from having such repository?
Okay, we have a national policy framework on EPR. And like I said, what is it's because it started on the wrong foot. Let me say it that way. Yeah, it's good to be industry-led. It's an industry-led extended producer responsibility, very good. But the enforcement is made voluntary. And when you make something voluntary, people are not binded to do it. You understand? There's nothing that enforces them to do it. So therefore, I would say that Nigeria lacks a comprehensive and a unified baseline, you know, due to poor coordination, like I said earlier on, between agencies, and also the informal sector's contributions are also underreported. So the EPR needs to be first mandatory across board. especially for plastic manufacturers, for the Food and Beverage Recycling Alliance, for food and beverage manufacturers, sorry, not the alliance, now manufacturers. It is something that has to be tied to their annual licensing, or even at registration. You must have an undertaking that the agencies at the national level, like NESREA, National Environmental Standard Regulatory Agency, or the agency at state level, you know, can hold those companies responsible to. So for me, it's when we begin to do that comprehensive baseline that will make this a national, that will give us the national repository that we actually require or need, as it were. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dr. Femi. Let me come back to you, Engineer Ikanem. How can civil societies and research institutions like the Nigerian Economic Summit Group support governments in strengthening data systems for tracking plastic pollution?
Okay, on a recent project where we worked with some universities, we realized that there's depth of knowledge and research that has been done on plastic waste management. However, all the research outcomes still remain in the universities. And so there's a strong linkage between the universities and government and business. Then we can start seeing how businesses can take advantage of research data to put in place systems that can reduce plastic waste pollution. The government as well can also use research data to define policies that can help reduce plastic waste through tracking waste pollution. But let's come to the fact that entities like the NESG or research institutions across the country are not the locations or the people that are basically contribute to plastic waste in the environment. These entities, most of them have structures or infrastructure in place that they can dispose waste effectively, and the waste moves through government structures to maybe dump sites or where they are recycled. However, where waste is generated mostly and where waste is disposed of indiscriminately and not responsibly are the locations we need to focus on. How do you collect data from such locations? And that's where research, using research institutions and the NESG's capacity to mobilize, engage, and create that critical mass of informed citizens to actually take personal responsibility can come in. So the NESG, on one hand, can help mobilize the right institutions, the right private sector interest, and the right individuals that can look into creating awareness either in the subnational level, but also creating the right proposals of the government in terms of policy review. Then the research institutions can carry out research on effective tracking systems. There is one we've seen in Lagos that's quite interesting, where you can use your mobile phone, go on an application, and basically weigh your waste before you dispose. And if you weigh your waste and is ready for the market, someone can actually indicate interest to buy from you. And so with such application in place, you can easily track plastic in the environment that will naturally not become waste, will become value, because someone will take it off you before it becomes waste. And so such systems in place can track the level of waste generated, but also how much of it has gone to the environment and how much of it can be recycled or has been recycled or upcycled. So first, NESG must deliberately put in place mobilize its members to ensure the awareness is created within all the sectors of the economy. research institutions can also help with ensuring that all the research carried out in universities and higher institutions can be applied or can be put to use either by government or the private sector. And these can help improve reduction of plastic waste in the environment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Engineer Ikana. Let me come back to you, Dr. Femi. You've mentioned that we need to do something for manufacturers to incentivize them. In practical terms now, how can we better incentivize these local manufacturers to adopt biodegradable or reusable packaging at scale without driving up the cost for consumers?
Okay, thank you very much. In incentivizing biodegradable and reusable packaging, I will advocate that subsidies on biopackaging technology, tax holidays for green manufacturers, public procurement preferences also can help, and regulatory frameworks should reward low impact packaging through certifications. I think I mentioned that also in passing earlier on. And also for MSMEs, shared infrastructure models can also reduce the overhead cost for their production using this biodegradable or reusable packaging. And we've mentioned we cannot overemphasize what our entrepreneurs are doing using used plastic, used materials, even textile waste, and they're using them for packaging stuffs, and they are creating reusable materials. Also, we have entrepreneurs who are using biodegradable materials to create alternatives for plastics. I'll just mention there's a young man who is using coconuts pod to create plates and cups, just like they do with bamboo in China and the other part of the world. In Nigeria, someone is doing that, but it's still at a small scale. So if we can give subsidies on biopackaging technology, such a person can expand and can scale and can even bring more investment into that sector. Tax holidays for green manufacturers also will give. And then if the public sector begins to procure such items produced locally and advertise it, give it good awareness creation, good focus for Nigerians, is locally made, and also is going to solve industrial problem, is going to create jobs, and at the same time it's going to solve environmental problem, it's going to solve pollution problem, at the same time going to solve health problem, as mentioned earlier on, because when you have incessant flooding, it leads to health issues, it leads to financial damage as well. So I believe if we begin to give the right incentives for biodegradable and reusable packaging, it will go a long way to help solve the issue of plastic pollution.
Let me stay with you and ask this further question, because you are a circular economy expert. How do we transition from pilot projects into circularity to full-scale industry adoption? What, in your view, are levers that can drive this shift?
Well, you know, as I said earlier on, the country, Nigeria, we have the National Circular Economy Roadmap that was launched last year. So in scaling circular economy beyond pilots, we must mandate circularity standard in industry regulations. It has to be mandatory. We must offer fiscal incentives such as import duty waivers on recycling or circular economy equipment. We must establish workable, please underline what I mean, workable public-private partnership for waste infrastructure. We must strengthen demand through consumer campaigns and green product labeling, like I mentioned earlier. So it's when we do these things that it gives the pilot projects can be scaled up. There's need for investment, and investors will be interested because there is investment security, there is incentives for their investments, and then the long-term benefit for both social, economic, and environmental, which I believe those are the ways to go if we're looking at scaling circular economy beyond a pilot projects.
From what I hear you say, there's a lot of behavioral changes that need to happen to make this shift for Nigeria occur. Engineer Ekanem, what role would you say, considering that Dr. Femi has mentioned some behavioral shift required, what role would you say schools and curriculum reform will play in instilling circular economy values from early childhood, Engineer Ekanem?
Sure. I mean, it's quite interesting that individual behavior comes to play very significantly in terms of plastic pollution, because at some locations where we've seen, you may have the infrastructure in place for waste disposal. However, indiscipline, leads to where people still dispose waste in a very wrong way, not using the assets or infrastructure put in place. And so that early stage education and early stage awareness creation is quite important. And so if you can use the schools, maybe starting from primary schools to secondary schools, where we have, I think some schools have clubs now that are called environmental clubs. Within those clubs, you can instill the value of being disciplined in terms of managing waste effectively. Then when the kids start growing from primary to secondary, they already know that there are assets in place that you can dispose of waste effectively. But also, plastic can be of very good value. Now, putting that into curriculum is also very possible. I know that there's civic education at the primary and secondary level. Within the civic education curriculum, waste management can be put as part of the modules. And so that students can start learning at that very young age that it is more important to be disciplined to dispose of waste effectively, because there's a huge negative impact for even the same individual, direct negative impact if you don't dispose waste in a very good manner. That way, as the students grow to become youths, maybe in the universities, they can start looking at research, they can start looking at technology application to better manage plastic waste. So for curriculum, we can include waste management as part of civic education, but also with the clubs and the environmental clubs in schools, those can also help a lot to create awareness and inform and inculcate habit of better waste disposal in the young children before they become even youths to be effective in the society. And interestingly, just going back to what Dr. Femi was saying about government creating the right environment, I think that we can explore the application of technology as well. Government can create the right environment as well, not just for producers or manufacturers, but for youths to bring in their knowledge, innovation in one, tracking waste, and two, disposing of waste. We've seen where very young people have created applications that have been very effective. And so beyond focusing on the manufacturers or the producers, we can look at where innovation can be used to create opportunities for waste recycling or waste management in the country. And so that's what government can also focus on, creating the environment for young people to express themselves by bringing in innovation and bringing in the use of technology. Thank you.
Interesting. Thank you for mentioning the youth. Indeed, young people have a role to play, even as they learn from early childhood on pollution reduction. Dr. Femi, let me come back to you. In your 24 years of experience in the circular economy, and especially outside of Nigeria, What lessons can Nigeria adopt from countries that have, you know, successfully tackled single-use plastic through regulation and behavioral change, from your experience?
Okay, before I dwell there, I just think I should mention, in support of what Engineer Economy said, Nigerian youths are not found wanting in innovating ideas. And I will just mention, there are three waste management or recycling. There are more than three, but I will just mention three of them. Two of them I know are domiciled in Lagos, and there's one in Port Harcourt. The one in Port Harcourt is called Trash Coin. So where people are getting incentivized for bringing their recyclables and using the app, the application, from the comfort of their home to engage recyclers or collectors, aggregators to pick, and they get paid or get incentives for their recyclables. It was done by a young Nigerian. Also, we have in Lagos, Pakam, and we have Junkyard also in Lagos. Like I said earlier on, the government, we need to have a workable public-private partnership to begin to use these innovations at either local government level, at state level, at national level. We need that. So back to your question. The linkages, or what are we supposed to look at as a nation? Nigeria can adopt phased bans. You know, Lagos is banning single-use plastic, no problem about it. Single-use plastics that are non-reusable, non-recyclables, but it should be in phased, because people have been used to this way. So people need to know why. You need to educate people, you need to create awareness, you need to give them the right incentives to be able to look at and understand why you are adopting the phased ban. Also, we need to build a public-private consensus and then prioritize behavioral change. And I'll give an example. I think it was in 2001, 2002, when I first found myself in the waste management sector in United Kingdom. And that was when a borough I worked for then were changing their waste collection system. The first thing we had to do was to go door knocking, go house to house, to knock at the door within the community, local government level. And that's why I said earlier on, waste collection should be at the local government level. So, because we know people in the community know one another, and then we were engaged and we were going door to door, educating households, talking to them about the new system that is coming, giving them time to prepare. You use one bin system now, you put all your waste in a bin, and then the government, the collectors come to collect it. But it's going to change. We have to explain to them why it's changing. There was an European law that is going to be fining United Kingdom for every tonnage of recyclable waste that goes to the landfill. And that, if United Kingdom government is going to be paying that fine to EU, then the United government, United Kingdom government is going to pass that to the people through the local authority, through their council tax payment. And so if you don't want to pay more of council tax because of the landfill tax that is the state or the government is going to be paying, so this is why this local authority has gone this way. We're going to be separating your waste, we're going to get your recyclables in the blue bin, and then we're going to get your non-recyclable in the black bag, and then your organic waste, the biodegradable waste, we now go in your green bin. You know, so people, like 2 months, 3 months before the rollout of the new waste collection system, we were already out there explaining to people, educating people on the new thing that is coming. Also, we can learn from countries like Kenya, Rwanda. They succeeded through strong enforcement, public education, like the way Lagos is going, clear bans on single-use plastics. Yesterday, I read on the news that the single-use plastic ban that is kicking up in Lagos from July 1st is not going to include the PET bottle and the pure water sachet. And we can all understand why. Because the right infrastructure for pipe-borne water is not even in place. So if you say you're banning single-use plastic and the manufacturers or the bottlers or bottled water or sachet water are still in the consultation and discussion over changing their packaging material to biodegradable, as we mentioned earlier on. So it has to be a phased process. We must have strong enforcement on clear bans or single-use plastics. And then we can learn from other countries like Kenya, who have done it successfully. It didn't happen overnight. I can tell you that Kenya started their major process to banning single-use plastic in 2007, 2008, but it did not come to fruition until 2017. So we should not just think we can do knee-jerk reaction. It has to be an intentional process. It has to be a deliberate attempt, and we must carry every critical stakeholders along. Thank you.
I wish we had more time, but we are out of time. So I'll give each of our panelists 30 seconds to give us their message on this World Environmental Day. Engineer Ekanem, what would be your message on this World Environmental Day?
Thank you, Stephen. I really wish we had more time, but just to underscore the fact that environment is critical to our survival, we need to make sure that our environment is sustainable. And so all the actions we take or inactions will impact us either positively or negatively. So to sustain our livelihoods, to sustain lives, and to ensure that our generations yet unborn can also benefit from the environment we have, let's take it very seriously, let's manage it safely, and let's manage it sustainably. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you, Dr. Femi, what will be your message?
Okay, I will say that, which I agree with Engineer Karen, but I will say that plastic pollution targets must be integrated into national climate policies, our NDCs, SDG reporting, budgeting frameworks. Also, we must have performance-based financing, green bonds and climate funds can be leveraged. And then Ministry of Finance and Planning must align environmental goals with fiscal priorities through a multi-sectoral planning. Thank you very much.
Distinguished audience, you would agree with me that this has been a very insightful conversation. We wish we had more time to, you know, dig deeper into this conversation. But thank you so much to my dear resource persons, Engineer Ekanem, thank you so much for your time. And Dr. Femi, thank you so much for your time. To our audience listening, thank you so much for tuning in into this episode of the podcast. Till we come your way next time again, happy International Environment Day. Thank you. Bye-bye.